The history of the Maya, the El Pitane, the jungle cities of the Maya. Now, we don't know why the Mayans built their cities where they did. Some are close to rivers, some lakes, and or water holes, but many are far from natural water sources. The lands of the El Pitane, which had thick tropical growth, high bush, and seasonal marshes, would appear to present a daunting challenge to builders. But it was here that the first ceremonial centers in the cities of the emerging Mayan civilization were actually built. It may be that the sites were chosen by priests claiming divine inspiration. With the Aztecs and the founding mythology of their capital Tenochtitlan, the city rose in the place that had been chosen by the gods. Differences in farming techniques and attitudes to the land between the lowlands of the El Pitane and the highlands of southern Mayan regions may have had a significant impact on the type of settlement and the kinds of rule that developed in the two places. The sacred book of Kish Maya, the Popol Vuh, tells how the sky and the sea gods brought the earth into being from the primordial waters at the dawn of time. They only had to speak the word earth. In some cases, Hurricane would have shouted it. And it rose up like a great mist, clear and clearing to reveal the mountains and the plain. Dense vegetation spread over the terrain. The holy text likens the miraculous event to the process a Mayan farmer followed to measure out a field. This was a fourfold sighting, fourfold cornering, measuring, fourfold staking, halving the cord, stretching the cord, in the sky, on earth, and the four sides, the four corners. Farmers across the Mayan realm used a measuring technique like this, but they cleared and used the land differently in the Guatemalan highlands, where the Quiché lived, and the jungle-covered lowlands of the El Pitane, which corresponding effects on their feeling for the land and perhaps also their loyalty to their ruler. In the jungle, the farmers traditionally practiced slash-and-burn agriculture. During the dry season, a farmer would use a stone axe to clear the dense growth of trees, set it on fire. He would measure out his plot with the fourfold cornering and plant the seeds of maize and other crops in this ash-enriched earth in good time for the beginning of the rainy season in May or early June. 10 years or so would usually exhaust the land on a particular plot, so after that period, the farmer would move to clear and burn another area of the jungle. In the highlands, the volcanic earth was deeper and richer, and the farmers did not need to move their fields periodically. Their settlements were more rooted. In the jungle, farmers did not feel themselves tied to a particular piece of land in the same way. Scholars believe that this contributed to the long-term instability of the jungle city-states. The cities were close together, often no more than a day's march apart. As farmers moved further away from the stone towers of their own settlement, they may have felt increasingly vulnerable to interference or attack. Kings commanded loyalty by military ability, charisma, and their capacity to demonstrate power through great public sacrificial rituals on the temple pyramids of their ancestors. This type of loyalty could quickly melt away if a king was defeated, captured, and sacrificed, and the next member of the dynasty was weak. The result was a succession of kingdoms that rose to brief preeminence and then were conquered or faded away. Recent archaeological work has transformed our idea of what the jungle and the jungle cities would have looked like in the 8th or 9th century AD. At one time, scholars thought the Maya of the lowlands were relatively few in number, and there was plenty of land for clearance and sowing. But the latest evidence indicates that in the 8th century, the Mayan population in the jungle lowlands was extremely high, and that the Maya at this time were farming the land intensely. We now know the Mayan jungle farmers cleared slopes, built terraced fields, and even constructed raised fields in the region's low-lying swamps. This is basically found by early satellite photography of the area, which showed this geometric pattern in the swamp, and then they go down and excavate its raised fields. It appears that by the 8th century AD, the Maya had cleared the jungle almost completely. The lush vegetation that now almost swamps many of the jungle cities is a secondary rather than primary growth. Modern tourists climb the towering pyramids of sites such as Tikal and look down beyond the city limits on the tall green towers of the forest. But a Mayan priest in the same position in the 8th century AD would have looked down on land that had been cleared and set aside for farming. Many scholars now believe that this was a state of affairs holds the key to the so-called Mayan collapse, the abandonment of the cities of the region in the 9th century that marked the end of the Classic period. They argue that the overuse of the land caused an ecological catastrophe. There was no longer enough land to go around, and what territory there was not highly fertile. The Mayan city-states fought bitterly over the last available areas of good land. So you have this situation, but let me point something out about a raised field. So you dig a canal, and as you take the dirt or the mud out of the canal, you throw it up and you heap it up and make land. That's where you're going to plant. The upside of this, when you plant your crops, you have water plants that grow in the channel that you've created in the canal. Well, periodically, you harvest the plants out of the canal, throw them on the field where your crops are growing, and as they deteriorate, it's a legume, it's fertilizer. So they actually produce their own fertilizer. So what you probably have is causing a problem with food storage or food creation would be a massive drought. But again, we'll talk about what the theories are at the end of the Mayan Classic period all at one time. The sources for this are The Maya by Cole, The Civilization of the Maya by Anquin, The Popo Vuh, In Search of the Maya by Brunhaus, Outline Dictionary of Mayan Glyphs by Gates, Incidents in the Travels of the Yucatan by Stevenson, New World Archaeology by Scientific American, Aztec and Maya by Phillips, Yucatan Before and After the Conquest by Delanda, Rise and Fall of the Maya by Mayan Civilization by Thompson, and Maya History and Religion by Thompson. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.